The big question, where are all the jobs?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We ask the big question this morning as word comes out about the number of people who filed last week for first-time unemployment claims. The Labor Department says that number fell only slightly by 3,000 to 450,000. It's the third straight weekly decline. Mark Vittner is a senior economist at Wells Fargo. He's with us live from Detroit this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We keep dropping, if ever so slightly. Is it wrong to think that the worst is over?
Well, it does look like we're seeing some improvement. The level of jobless claims has fallen to its lowest level in 2 months, but it's still relatively high. 450,000 claims, that works out to 1.8 million jobs being lost in a month's time.
How many jobs, Mark, does the economy need to be adding to really get the momentum going, get some steam under this?
On a net basis, we need to add at least 150,000 jobs to start bringing down the unemployment rate.
150,000 a month or?
A month. And that means that since we're losing somewhere around 1.8 million to 2 million, a little bit, about 1.8 million a month, we need to add 2 million jobs a month or create 2 million new jobs a month to offset all the jobs that we're losing and create enough net new jobs to reduce the unemployment rate.
And the takeaway, just the overall takeaway of this report?
Well, it's better than expected. A lot of people were thinking the number would rebound a little bit because we've seen some improvement. We've come down from a high of 500,000 a few weeks ago, which is very problematic and got a lot of people worried about a double dip or a sliding back into a recession. That doesn't seem likely right now.
All right. Mark Vittner, senior economist at Wells Fargo in Detroit. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
President Obama's pick for director of the White House Office of Management and Budget is Jacob Lew, nickname Jack. He's going to be a familiar face to many senators asking him questions today. He was OMB director for President Clinton. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
The OMB director is responsible for the president's budget, and that will automatically provoke administration critics. But Larry Haas, who worked with Jack Lew at OMB, says he's well-liked in Congress.
But there's no question Republicans will see his nomination hearings as an opportunity to focus attention on big deficits of the last few years, healthcare reform, and the like.
Among Lew's challenges will be improving morale in the office. In the latest rankings of the best places to work in government, OMB dropped from third best to 25th. Gary Bass is with OMB Watch.
Jack will come in with much stronger management skills and probably give much greater support to the civil service staff to do their work.
Senators will ask why Lew got almost a $1 million bonus when he left Citibank in 2009. That was after Citi got $50 billion in taxpayer help. At least one Republican wants to know if those are connected. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are down right now. European shares off at the moment about 0.5%. Asian markets closed mostly lower today as well. Wall Street yesterday, though, some modest gains. The Dow added just under 0.5%, 46 points to end the day at 10,572.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. By Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
According to the National Center for Health Statistics, the number of U.S. births in 2009 was at the lowest level in a century. A lot of experts on the subject say the economy has a lot to do with that. Megan Sweeney is a sociologist at UCLA in California. She's here to talk about it this morning. Thanks for being with us.
No problem. Happy to be here.
In what ways does the economy dictate whether people have children?
First of all, I guess I'd back up and say that it's difficult to know exactly what's causing the change in birth rates at any given point in time. If you look historically over a long time period, birth rates tend to dip up or dip down, and it's difficult to know for sure that the economy is causing these changes. That said, there are a lot of reasons to think that they could be contributing factors. Children are expensive to raise. I have one myself. I know that's true. They also require care, and so often you'll have at least one of the parents out of the labor market for a period of time, taking care of the child. In periods of economic instability, having two earners in the labor market can be a nice cushion. So that can be one of the reasons that people might choose to delay a birth.
What are some of the hazards of lower birth rates?
Well, I think we care about low birth rates because all else equal, families having fewer children contributes to an aging population and a possible shortage of what demographers consider the all-important trifecta of workers, warriors, and consumers. And there's probably also some sense out there that people should be able to have the number of children that they want to have, particularly if they're willing and able to work to support them.
Have we seen this before, this kind of drop?
Yeah. So actually, if you look historically in the United States, there is a series of drops in the birth rate that coincide with recessionary periods. So the most dramatic one, obviously, is the Great Depression of the 1930s.
Right.
Fertility was low then. And then also we saw it, for example, in the early 1970s.
I can remember 10, 20 years ago, European countries were concerned about birth rates there, trying to get people to have kids again. Is this really a concern for our country?
Yeah, there's actually many European countries, Spain, Italy, France, have been very concerned about their low fertility and have been trying to come up with ways to encourage the members of their population to increase fertility. Of course, across all countries, the size of a population and its rate of growth depends not just on birth rates, but also on factors such as immigration patterns. And that's really important to keep in mind.
Dr. Megan Sweeney, Associate Professor of Sociology at UCLA, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
And finally, a new study says first-person shooter games, you know, those really gory, violent video games, could actually be good for some people. We're talking about games like Call of Duty.
Friendly spy plane inbound.
Yeah, that game. Well, researchers at the University of Rochester tested folks who had never played a shooting video game before. Half played a week's worth of the violent stuff. The other half played a more benign strategy video game, Sims 2, perhaps. The study found that shooter games produced heightened sensitivity and more efficient use of people's senses, not to mention the ability to wage war from the most comfortable seat in the house. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.